Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't.
All you got to do is ask them.
All you got to do is ask them, exactly. Thank you, bud. And we're here every night and Saturday night, and we have our video cast at philhendryshow.com, and we have our podcasts every day. So if you miss the show, you just plug in the old iPod or whatever you plug in, however you plug it in and whatever you use to plug it into, and you can catch the show that way. That's a beautiful thing. You can also get our classic Phil podcasts, which are free by way of iTunes. Those are free. And you can also visit our shop and check into our news feed, and you have exclusive access to comment on the stories that we put up there. Now, we do not edit or censor our comment section. And so there are a lot of different kinds of comments you're going to see. Lots of different kinds of people. A lot of different kinds of weird asses that are commenting there. And so I don't, you know. It was so out of control at one point that we finally decided, okay, you know, you're going to have to at least give us a username. Because everybody was like making up names and it was getting pretty radical. But we have this, like I say, if you're a subscriber, you can post any comment you want there. We do not censor at all, never have. We got close, but we haven't. That's just one of the many features at our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. It's well worth it. In fact, we think it's the only subscription in the entire radio game, with the exception of maybe Bubba's, Howard's, you know, a couple of friends of ours, that's worth it. 877-876-7445. Very happy to bring on the line here Harvey Wireman. Retired attorney at law, Harvey has had a long and distinguished career. Actually went to law school by way of the United States Marines way back when. Harvey then worked with the ACLU, was a defense attorney, a criminal attorney, I should say, for some time. Has worked pro bono for a lot of different causes and joins us from his home in San Marino, California. Harvey, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And tonight we're going to talk about Anthony Weiner. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a disgrace. I think he has disgraced himself, and I think he's disgraced the office. And you know, it's unheard of, it's uncalled for. And I don't think, and I wouldn't make the claim, Phil, that when I was a young man, we didn't have people that were this bereft of morality. I would never say that. But what I would say is I think they had a little more sense, you know, and maybe that's because you and I have, you know, discussed that the press protected a lot.
The press covered a lot of stuff up back then, didn't they?
They did. They protected a lot of these people, but it's a different ballgame now. And if you're going to be a congressman, you have to understand the rules of the road and act appropriately. And obviously, he didn't. Now, I know you wanted to talk to me tonight because I have some viewpoints on whether or not this man is should be run out of office.
Well, the questions, I think, are these. The questions are, is this man, Anthony Weiner, has he lost all ability to do his job, which is to represent the people of his congressional district, given the fact it's possible he still could be accused of a crime, correct?
Yes, he still could be accused of a crime.
All right, so that's one aspect of this. Number two, will he be accused of a crime? And if so, what crimes? And number three, does he quit or doesn't he? You know, everybody's talking about he's ought to quit, he ought to quit, he ought to quit. I don't think I've heard anybody say that he shouldn't, except until I heard you, Harvey, and you don't think he should.
I don't think he should, because I think there's a couple of things that haven't been taken into consideration. Number one, you know, he's a man who is a congressman. He is not a man who is doing a job that, however important, is not a job that is not a job that's vital. I believe that a man like a man like Anthony Weiner should get what we call in golf a mulligan, if you want to call it.
A mulligan, huh?
Yeah.
That's when you get another shot.
I think he gets another shot, and I'll tell you why. Because he should have have a one-time exemption from prosecution, and we there's a good chance he could get prosecuted for the Twitter.
Yeah, that was the.
All right, he tweeted these pictures to an underage girl.
And that's serious.
Well, let's slow down, okay?
It's not serious that a 17-year-old underage girl might have gotten these pictures?
We don't know that a 17-year-old girl did. What we understand is that there was a 17-year-old girl that he had a conversation with. Now,
all right, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
If he was found out that it was a 17-year-old girl that got these pictures, does he get prosecuted?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because, as I said, it is a very high-profile learning experience, and he can become the face of this kind of problem. Anthony Weiner could be there to espouse what happens when you, you know, take a picture of yourself in that state. And you send it to a girl that's 15 years old, you can get yourself into some very, very serious problems very quickly. And so, no, I don't think he should resign. And that's not my only reason.
Okay.
The other reason I have for him not resigning is that he's the only, and I speak as a Jew, we don't have a lot of Jews in Congress. And I'm not saying it's because of bigotry. I'm not saying it's because, they just don't have a lot of Jews. And if he resigns, now we lose a Jew. And
well, what does that mean? What is that? Is that the same as an African American?
Well, it's yes, I think it is, because if you want to paint things in terms of ethnicity and special interests, Anthony Weiner is not just a Democrat; he's a Jew, and I'm a Jew, and I would take note. You know, I'm a lawyer. And everyone thinks every lawyer's a Jew. Well, that isn't the case. So we don't need to have more Harvey Weirmans. We probably could use a few more Phil Hendrys in the law profession, but not so in politics. So that is important to me. But mostly, I don't think he should resign because he's got a lot of work to do for Obama. And Obama needs all the swinging you-know-what he can get. So...
All right, well, let's take a look at what you just said, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
All right, Harvey Weirman is our guest. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You just said that Weiner shouldn't resign because, number one, there's an opportunity for him to become the poster boy for this kind of problem, so that as long as he is in Congress, we are reminded of the responsibilities and the duties and the pitfalls of that kind of responsibility. Number two, he should not be prosecuted for a crime because he is one of the few Jews serving in Congress, and there'd be one less Jew.
That's correct, yes.
And the third one's the one I think I got the most problem with. Obama needs him.
Why do you say you got a problem with that?
Well, you know,
regardless of whether you... I thought you liked Obama.
I like any president trying to do a good job, but here's the thing. You keep this guy in office because he is a help to Obama. Now you got people screaming politics.
That's not politics. What do you mean screaming politics? He is this man not one of the pivotal players for the Democrats in the House of Representatives?
Yes.
Then why would you want to get rid of him?
And if I'm a Republican, I'd want to get rid of him.
And you're telling me that I'm playing politics. See, you know...
No. You're missing my point. I'm saying that this should not have anything to do with politics. If he broke the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he sent these images, whether or not it was against the law, it shouldn't have anything to do with politics. If he offended... You see what I'm saying?
I'm speaking to you as a practical individual. And I'm telling you right now... Just speaking to you as a supporter, as just an objective observer, if you lose this guy Weiner, then what the Republicans will do to the Obama administration and agenda, they'll carve it and slice it and they'll cut it to pieces. They'll cut it to ribbons. You got to have guys like this. So,
and you're saying that as an objective person who's not necessarily an Obama fan?
That's exactly right. I'm looking at a practical solution to the problem. if you keep him in there, Obama's got a fighting chance, along with all the other Democrats. But if you take him out, you won't recognize the Obama. History will not be able to recognize the Obama administration. It'll be carved up so bad.
We're talking with Harvey Wireman. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Harvey, it's interesting talking with you.
Which means what? It means that you think I'm an idiot, don't you?
No, not at all.
Because I was listening to some of the comments off air. I'm not on here as a Democrat, you understand?
No, but that's what I'm having a hard time with. You're not a Democrat or Republican, but you don't want to get rid of this guy Wiener because it'll hurt Obama if you do.
It hurts Obama. It's a cheap way of getting at Obama. If you're a Republican, let me just ask you a question. If you're a Republican and you want to get at Obama, but you know you got a guy named Anthony Weiner standing in the way, and suddenly out of heaven falls this gift from heaven, and it happens to be these pictures that this stupid ass sent. Okay. You are going to, you can't. You know full well that you got to, you do that. What I'm trying to say is...
What are you trying to say here?
I'm trying to say that Republicans know that there's a guy somewhere in their ranks that does the same thing. So you got to take it and run with it. And I'm just saying that the Democrats can't afford that because the Republicans are going to try to get this guy to resign regardless.
The Republicans are going to try to get Wiener to resign and they'll claim it's a moral thing.
Yes, but what they really want to do is they want to cut Obama to pieces. They don't give a... I don't think there's a Republican out there that cares whether a 15-year-old got it or a 3-year-old. I think what they want is to get Wiener and to throw him under the wheels of a passing train. Forget about a bus. Forget about throwing him under the wheels of a bus. That's for kids. That's kid stuff. That's chump change. That's punk stuff. I mean, they want to take Wiener and throw him under the wheels of a passing freight train. Right under that metal wheel. Have you ever seen the way...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman with us, an attorney at law who's talking about Anthony Wiener. Should he resign? No. Anthony Wiener should stay in office, according to Mr. Wireman, because he would be a great poster boy for this kind of a problem, because the job he does is far too important, because it's a great learning experience. And, oh, yeah, he's Jewish. They don't have a lot of Jews in Congress, and I'm quoting Mr. Wireman, and Obama needs him. Now, none of that addresses the issue at hand, which is the very aberrant behavior of this man, borderline criminal behavior of this man, his own party wanting him out. So is there any reason to keep him in? And we're going to continue our discussion with Harvey Wireman, and you're welcome to join in, folks, at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Oh, before I forget, I want to tell you all about one of our great sponsors, and I always like talking about these great guys over there at Life Change Tea because they help extend the healthy life of your loved ones or yourself by simply taking a beautiful glass of tea or two a day, Life Change Tea, that is, an all-natural, all-organic blend specially formulated to detoxify. That's what the ball game's all about, you know? It doesn't matter what age. All of this garbage we got, you know, it collects. And this and it's not the obvious thing you're thinking of either, bud. It cleanses not only your colon, but your blood, your liver, your kidneys. detoxifies and cleanses all of that. And this is particularly good and effective if you want to lose weight, believe it or not. If you want to lose weight, you'll benefit from this great-tasting, non-caffeinated tea. It's called Life Change Tea. There's a 45-day money-back guarantee on all Life Change Tea. No gimmicks, just results. A happier you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to their website, getthetea.com, G-E-T-T-H-E-T-E-A.com, or you can call this number, 928-308-0408, 928-308-0408. GetTheTea.com, one of our great sponsors, Life Change Tea, and please tell them that when you visit them, Phil Hendry sent you from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, Harvey Wireman on the line with us from San Marino, California, as we continue our discussion here of Anthony Weiner. The most serious issue, in my opinion, Harvey, and we'll take your phone calls too, folks, at 877-876-PHIL. The most serious issue to my manner of thinking, even if it's not yet been stated or claimed or proven, but there's a possibility some of these pictures found their way to underage women.
Well, I don't see that as a problem.
And you don't see that as a problem?
No, I do not. I don't see it as a problem at all. I see that there are some people that will try to make it a problem. And I see that there are some people who will try and turn it into coin a phrase, a federal case, you know. But this is a United States congressman. And there is an office that this man holds. And
no, hold on for a minute. I'm talking about...
I'm listening to what you're... I'm trying to answer your question now.
No, I don't think you are. If Anthony Weiner sent pictures to underage... We already know he had a conversation with a 17-year-old... We already know that the guy stood in front of a press conference and was asked the question, did any of these pictures go to young women? And he couldn't answer. He said he didn't know.
He answered the question. He said that they didn't.
No, he did not. He said that he didn't. Maybe some did.
Well, my position is this, if you'll let me finish.
Go ahead.
My position is this, that Anthony Weiner may have sent these photos, graphic though they may be, to an underage woman. But I would ask you a question. If you have a daughter, and I want people to be objective, I'm an attorney, and I've worked as an attorney ever since I was a very young man in the Marine Corps. I will tell you that I've got a daughter, and I have a son, and if she were 12 or 13, and she got a picture of this guy's package, I guess is how you say it, in the mail or however they deliver these things. There are worse things in this world.
And well, that sounds so partisan.
Oh, no, hold on for just a minute. Hold on.
That sounds so partisan. There are worse things in this world. Even the Democrats themselves, Harvey.
Hold on for just a minute, if you don't mind. I understand that the Democratic Party wants him out. But they're not thinking with their head. They're thinking all they're doing is reading the poll, the Gallup polls and everything. People... If you sell the, you've got to explain these things to the American people. You say to the American people, look at the good work this man has done. Look at the years of service that he's put in. Look at the way he has served his constituents. Look at the way that he has fought. And even if you didn't agree with him, even if you didn't agree with what he did, even if you don't agree with any of that, you have to admire the work that he put in. And are you going to take all of that and throw it out because your 12-year-old daughter opened up a Twitter account that maybe you didn't even want her to have, but she opened it up anyway and broke the rule that you gave her? She opens it up, and there is this guy's, you know, from the waist down. Are you going to throw out
everything? Yes, I am.
Are you going to throw out, let me finish, are you going to throw out everything, you're going to throw out a man's life's work, is that what you're going to do?
Yes. And this whole idea that the woman, that the little girl, I should say, opened up a Twitter account even though I told her not to, what is that about?
If you're a father or a mother and you tell your daughter you do not go on this Twitter, I don't want you on it, I don't like the creeps that are on it, I don't know what's on it, and she does anyway, and Weiner sends her a tweet and there's a picture of it. Whose fault is that? Is that his? It's not his. It's hers. These are things that people are not taking into consideration.
I don't understand that. I don't see that at all.
Well, if you don't see that, anybody listening understands I didn't force. My daughter opens up a Twitter account, and then Anthony Weiner wants to send her a picture of it. She shouldn't have opened up the Twitter account, is the point. Now,
all right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. So, Anthony Weiner, even if this picture found its way into the Twitter account of an underage girl, according to Mr. Wireman, he should not be forced to resign. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Harvey Wireman, and we're talking with Harvey's an attorney at law. We're talking about Anthony Weiner and what's the worst possible thing that could happen. And again, the possibility that these pictures or any of them found their way into the Twitter account of an underage woman. Now, we don't have any evidence of that.
Yes, and if I could interrupt, Phil, I wish you would make that point.
I'm making the point now.
But you have not made that point in this hour, and I think people are having the impression that this man sent pictures, these pictures of himself to women, to children.
All I know is what he said, okay?
I know what he said.
Well, he said that maybe. He didn't say no. He didn't know.
Well, how are you supposed, we are missing the point here. This is a United States congressman. You were talking about if your daughter got a picture of his... Are you telling me you want this guy fired? I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Yes, I'd want him fired. I'd want him arrested.
I'm going to ask you a question, and you may think this is stupid. What if Abraham Lincoln sent a...
Oh, come on, Harvey.
No. If Abraham Lincoln, you're telling me that has no... That has no...
That's a ridiculous hypothetical that, you know, you got to... If you got to reach for an extreme like that...
That's not an extreme. I'm saying that in some instances... It's no longer a crime. It's you should be flattered that your daughter...
I'm going to be flattered that my daughter got a picture like that? You got to be crazy.
Well, then I go back to the question about Abraham Lincoln. Do you want Abraham Lincoln fired from the job that he had as President of the United States, who saved this country, if he sent a picture of it to your kid?
You're not even talking about the Abraham Lincoln that I know from history.
No, you got an idea that Abraham Lincoln was some kind of an altar boy. Didn't you tell me that Lincoln liked women?
You know what? Yes, he liked women. And he was very familiar with women before he got married. As President of the United States, he was a faithful husband.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
And for you to bring him up in this context, I think, really cheapens the... there's no point. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to Catherine in Tucson. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good morning.
In my opinion, this
man would defend a rapist because a woman happened to walk past him wearing a miniskirt, and he couldn't possibly restrain himself. Because a woman wore mini skirts.
No, ma'am. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm not talking about rape now. But what if Abraham Lincoln had you pinned on a car?
I'm not talking about rape. I'm saying you would defend the rapist because you are defending this no good Nick and against this type of thing. Just because he was elected doesn't means absolutely nothing. He was elected to represent the people. He's distracting the people from the job that has to be done in this country at large. The man needs to go. Pure and simple. Republicans can get away with this. Democrats should not be able to.
He wouldn't answer my question. I ask you, if Abraham Lincoln pinned you down in an alley one night...
Wait a second! We're not going to be talking about that.
You're crazier than Anthony Weiner. I got to hang up.
Well, fine, you can hang up, but the question still stands. If that woman was walking down the street one night, Phil, and Lincoln jumped out from an alley and dragged her in against a garbage can...
Why in the hell would you talk like that?
Because we have to begin to discuss it. If you want Anthony Weiner out of his job, okay. All right, fine. I'll be the first guy to go to his office. I'll be the first guy to grab him by his lapels, and I won't show him the door. I'll open a window, and I'll say, Wiener, you see that? That's about three floors down. You see your car, don't you? And he'll say, yeah, I parked it near the front door because I knew I had to move some boxes today. I said, well, guess what? You don't have to worry about moving boxes. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. I'm going to send you into your car right now. And I would lift him with what strength God still gives me. And
I understand. So you'd be the first guy to get rid of him.
Yes. Yes.
But it just so happens that we've got a problem now, you say. And the problem is Abraham Lincoln.
No, it's not Abraham Lincoln.
Well, your point is, I know what your point is. Your point is, how can we fire a man from a job like United States Congressman when we could very well be firing from the job someone who is brilliant, someone who's going to help the country, someone who's this and that?
That's exactly correct. And on top of that, even more to the point, I think any member of Congress, because of the job they have, which is essentially so pressure-packed that the fate of the free world rests on their shoulders.
All right, Harvey, I mean, you're giving a speech now.
Will you allow me? Mr. Henry, you invited me on your program.
But you're giving a speech now, and I don't think you're addressing the problem.
I'm addressing the problem very, very well. You don't want to hear the answer. And Mr. Henry, I'll tell you something else. I took time away from my dinner tonight so I could sit here and talk with you about this problem that you are... Hold on for a minute, will you?
What is that?
I'm making some soup. You got a problem with that? I took time away from my dinner tonight. I had nothing to eat. I had nothing to eat. I'm 81 years of age, and I had nothing to eat tonight.
I'm sorry.
And I took time out of my night, and usually I'm in bed. My daughter's here, and my son-in-law and my grandkids are here. Okay? And I've given up my bedroom to the grandkids. I got to sleep on a sofa tonight. So you'll pardon me if I'm a little bit... It needs a little more time. You'll pardon me if I'm a little bit more, Hold on for a minute. Would you please heat that up somehow? Because if this microwave doesn't work... Yeah, that's fine. I'm in the kitchen right now, Phil, so here's what I'm saying.
All right, I understand what you're saying, that you took time out and you are entitled to be heard. I'm offended that you would talk about Abraham Lincoln.
Then I'm offended you're talking about Anthony Weiner.
Abraham Lincoln didn't send a picture of his genitals to anybody. Not that we know of. History has never recorded such an event. History has never recorded any kind of an event, any kind of an action by Abraham Lincoln that would compromise his morality, integrity, or the office of the president. There was never any hint of that with Abraham Lincoln. Not to say that there wasn't with other presidents. And I'm not talking about guys like Kennedy. Going back further, Harding, you know.
Oh, Harding. Harding was an animal. Harding was a walking, crawling animal. He had him going out the front door and...
All right, fine. I don't know and I don't care. But if we're talking about Anthony Weiner, that's who we're talking about. And to say that the President of the United, to bring Abraham Lincoln, that's kind of almost like the Hitler... What are you doing, man?
I'm going to heat up this soup. It's ice cold. Ice cold. Hold on. Give it to me. Boy, that's lousy Lipton soup. All right, you were saying?
Do you need to heat anything else up?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, what I'm saying is the following thing.
He asked me if I need to heat anything else up.
Who's in there anyway?
I got the guy, the butler. Eddie. You wish you had a butler named Eddie. Watch this. Hey, Eddie. Give me some scotch. How about that, huh?
Harvey, I know you've got money.
Better believe it. And you know how I made my money, by the way? I made my money not as a crook, not as a shyster. I made my money honestly. I took a third I took a third of all the settlements in the civil. I had very wealthy clients. I did a lot of pro bono work. Scotch, yeah. Give me bourbon.
Oh, he ain't that good.
So the point that I'm making with you, and I don't know if you even have any listeners left.
We probably don't, man, between you, heating your soup and this guy getting you bourbon or scotch or whatever. Oh, come on, will you?
It's cold. I'm making some coffee. Screw the soup. I don't want that.
Coffee's going to keep you awake.
Oh, is that right? What are you, my daughter all of a sudden? I want coffee. So I went to the library, and I looked up this guy, Anthony Weiner, okay? He's a smart guy. He's a guy that Obama needs. And he went ahead and he tweeted a picture of it to a women. Now, if he tweeted it to these kids like you think he did, like you try to get everybody to believe that he did, which I think is really wrong of you, Mr. Henry, because...
Oh, man, if you use that microwave one more time...
You know what? I'm sorry, but I like it real hot. No, way hotter than that, okay? No, way hotter. I want it so hot, it'll burn the flesh right off my tongue. Come on. Come on, do it, do it, do it. I just don't... These microwaves don't do it for me, man. I like a real... Yeah. Heat it up. Heat it up. There you go. Now, one of the things that I do, Phil, I don't know if I told you this or not, I quit smoking, as you know, about 2 years ago. I smoked cigars up until 2 years ago.
I didn't know that.
And I quit by using aversion therapy on myself. I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't go to any smoke enders. I didn't do any of that stuff. And I use aversion therapy. And one of the things, here, hold on for just a second. Get it a little hotter, will you? There you go. Yeah. One of the things I do is I take a boiling hot liquid, like I've got right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open up my underwear.
Harvey, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on, hold on. And pour it in.
What did you just do?
Don't call on me.
Who's that?
I said George.
George, where's Harvey? What did you just do?
What do you mean, what did I just do? I just poured the cup. Now, that's going to be another 2 years with no cigars.
That's how you quit smoking cigars, huh?
That's it. I still got that phlegm in my throat, though. So, and what I would suggest, if you want to break Wiener of sending pictures of it to 15, there you go, right here.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, well, Harvey, thanks.
Say it again?
Thank you.
What's that?
Thanks a lot, okay?
What are you yelling for? Yeah, real hot, good and hot.
Thank you very much.
Oh, don't you want to stick around and hear this?
No, I don't. Thank you very much. What a sick animal.
Yeah, but I think I have some good ideas about Wiener.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe one day when we get a straitjacket around him, we can bring him in here and he can talk about him.
What is he doing? A hot thing pouring on his thing?
That's what it sounded like to me. All right, so anyway, thanks very much. And if I can just summarize, it sounds to me like Harvey's saying, you know, Anthony Weiner is, it's possible this guy could be a great American, and we don't have enough Jews in Congress as it is, so let's let him off with a light, a slap on the wrist.
Either that or pour a hot liquid down in the shorts.
Either that. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Here's something else you can't fight alone.
Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I got Harvey Weierman over on line number two. I guess he's over. Yeah, there he is. Harvey, I know that you have the family over, and I understand that you're a little inconvenienced.
I'm all right, but what I resent was the end of me. You baited me into being on this program tonight.
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting ready to take a bath.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. Do you mind? Don't worry about what I'm doing. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You baited me into being on your program tonight to come up with answers and solutions to the Anthony Weiner situation. Put some more water in there, George. I got George, who George has been with me since. George, how long you been here?
Well, since you moved from my old house.
Yep, we moved to the old house. I'm in San Marino now. We used to be out in Pasadena. Put some more water in there.
I don't think.
Put more water in there. You want me to take a bath in 2 inches of water?
I don't think I'm going to drown.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Wait, you know, we don't have a lot of time.
Hold on. How am I going to drown in 2 inches of water? Put some more water in there, will you, please? Come on. Yeah. All the way to the top.
I'm not fucking with it, though.
I'm not going to drown in 2 inches. Are you ready for this, guy? I'm going to drown in 2 inches of water. Now, what I was saying is, what do you think? We got a drought on? Come on. I'm a rich man. So anyway, Phil, I heard what you said when you went into the break.
What?
You said I belonged in a straitjacket, didn't you?
I said that some of the things you were saying, yes.
What was I saying? I said, what if Abraham Lincoln sent a picture of his thing to a 12-year-old?
Right, and that's, to me, that's just bizarre.
George, come here for a minute. I'm going to talk to George. This is a man, George Gonzalez, has been with me for a long time. He's been a butler. He's been on my domestic staff. George, come here. How long you worked for me?
Since 1971.
Since 1971, Phil. 40 years. How old were you when you started with me? 15 years old.
15?
Yeah, 15. Oh, I get it. So he was my boy?
I'm not saying anything of the sort, man.
Let me get into this stuff. All right, now, George, have you ever worked for anybody else? Off and on you worked for me. You worked for somebody else, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Who did you work for?
I worked for Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, look at that. Right there. See that?
He worked for Sheen, huh?
You better believe he worked for Sheen. And what did Sheen used to do, okay, to get women?
Mr. Sheen would have,
Hold on for a minute. God, I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on. Oh, I'm in the tub. I might as well just...
No, you don't!
Right? You know what the definition of stupid is, don't you? Getting out of the shower when you got to take a leak. Now...
You know what, Harvey? Are you doing stand-up now?
No, I am not.
Then can we get to the point?
Oh, well, okay, sir. So what did Sheen do to attract women? Now, this is George. Come on, George. What did Sheen do? Is that the baby? Is that the shampoo that doesn't hurt my eyes, right?
No, it's not touch.
Okay. What did Sheen do to attract women?
Mr. Sheen would, just like you, Mr. Wyman, he would have them heat in a microwave oven. Bacon fat.
Bacon fat, Phil. Now, you think I belong in a straitjacket. Will you hear this story? Go ahead.
They'll heat up the bacon fat.
Right. And then what would Mr. Sheen do with the bacon fat?
He'd just sit down into it.
He'd sit right down into it.
He'd sit down into boiling hot bacon fat?
That's right.
Yeah. The reason why he said is women are attracted to pork. They smell of pork?
Yeah. Sheen figured in his twisted and warped mind that you could attract a woman if your genitals smelled like pork. Are you ready for that?
Wow.
Yeah. So he'd have George, although it did work, didn't it?
Yes, it did work.
So I don't know what I'm...
Well, now wait just a minute.
Well, you can't deny that it works.
I don't know whether that did it or not.
I don't know why I brought the story up, because I was going to make fun of him, and now I realize that guy's kid's pork. Talk about a rental car. So go ahead, George.
Anyway, he helped me to heat it up, and he'd sit in the bacon fat.
Did it hurt?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Did it hurt or didn't it hurt? It must have hurt. It's boiling bacon fat.
I don't know. He looked like he was smiling and everything.
What do you mean smiling? What do you mean smiling?
What, is he serious?
Hold on for a minute. George, every night I have you pour hot soup down my shorts so I won't smoke a cigar. And you're telling me that Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat and smiled? God will not permit this to happen. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. Heat up some more of that soup.
Please, senor, don't make me do it. Please don't make me do that.
I said to heat up more soup, yeah.
Wait a minute. What, are you going to prove something to yourself?
That's right. No way does Sheen sit in hot bacon fat. Yeah, that's it. Is it hot? Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm going to sit in this.
Come on, you have to smile just like Charlie Sheen. Laugh, too. That's not good enough. A better laugh. No, you suck.
Are you telling me because you got an ego trip going about Charlie Sheen, you just sat down in more hot soup?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You're lying to me, George.
No, you asked me a question.
You've got to be lying. There's no way Sheen sits in hot bacon fat and lives to talk. And lives to talk. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, you know what I said about you needing a straitjacket?
Uh-huh.
You need a straitjacket, man.
It hurt really bad.
Yeah, I bet it. Your voice has changed, Harvey.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it has, man.
Okay.
I better put it to bed.
Yeah, I think so. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back next hour with our news and comment hour. Charlie Sheen sat in hot bacon fat because he heard chicks were attracted to the smell of pork. And it worked. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Thank you. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you want a steak, I mean, if you want the best meat you've ever had that passed between your lips,
here at Ted's,
that's the place.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Sports of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to participate in the conversation tonight. Ted Bell joining us about a very deadly serious topic, Ted, without any question.
It's very serious for the state, and I think the entire country needs to take it seriously.
That is the $10 billion budget shortfall that the state of California has. Now, we recognize that it's important for California, just as any budget shortfall would be important for any state. But why should the country, for that matter, care about that?
Well, Phil, I think that the United States, the American people, have a vested interest in California in much the same way that we all had a vested interest in New York. We saw what happened in New York at 9/11. It was something that shocked each and every one of us. I don't think it's anything we're ever going to forget about, and certainly will stay with us for the rest of our lives. By the very same token, California is that symbol. Whereas New York is the Big Apple, California is the promised land. Whereas New York is the center of commerce and trade, California is the center of our, it's the center of our hopes and our dreams and our futures. Whereas New York is in many ways the embodied history of the United States, California is the embodied future of the United States. Why do I say this? Because, as you mentioned, Bill, and I think it transcends governors, to be honest with you. We have Jerry Brown, who is the governor of this state. I don't particularly like him, but that's not anything that I wanted to come on this program. Jerry Brown is Jerry Brown.
And well, we're not. You don't want to turn this into a political thing, do you?
No, what I'm saying is the state has a $10 billion budget shortfall. The state, there's a difference between, and I don't mean to talk down, I'm sure people do understand what it is I'm trying to say, but there's a difference between what the money is that California has and how much we need. The difference is $10 billion. How can we make this up? Well, we can continue to fire people, and we can continue to...
Let's talk about, what about the illegal alien situation?
Hold on for just a minute, okay? That is politically charged, and you don't want to go there. It's politically charged, you don't want to go there.
And if you're asking for the $10 billion, Ted, okay,
yes.
Why can't we put everything on the table as to what it is that we need to get rid of?
The illegal alien question is filled with lots of pitfalls. There's a lot of mines, there's a lot of traps, there's a lot of potholes. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know how many businesses there are in the state of California that do rely on the illegal alien? If you take them out of here, you might as well take the entire state and flush it down a toilet. And I know that's not what the American people want to do.
Wait, I don't accept that, okay?
Well, I don't care what you accept. And it...
No, I will not accept that this status here of the millions of illegals that are here, that are being paid for, regardless of whether or not they're working, regardless of whether or not they're putting taxes into the system. The fact is, there are social services that go to support people that are not legally in the United States. Now, you're going to have people asking questions like that. If you're asking the American people, which is this what I'm leading, what you're leading up to?
I'm leading up? You just said you're leading up to what?
Are you leading up to the...
I'll tell you, yes, that's what I'm leading up to. The American people need desperately to begin to see the reality of this situation. We can't afford to refuse to accept the situation.
And why is this the American people in total? Why is that their problem?
Because, again, as I told you, America, California is the shining city on the hill. California has been the future of this country for so many years, for so long, and it is a country that must recognize this. We are asking that the American people, through their largesse, through their well-known charity, through their ability to see when there is a problem, yes, we're asking that this shortfall be made up in terms of a federal tax so that California makes its $10 billion and can continue to function well into the future. And
how would this money be acquired?
Well, you're saying that in a very... excuse me for saying this, Phil, but I want to just... You're very sober when you say that. I thought you were going to attack me again with the illegal alien thing.
Well, it's not an attack, Ted, but I'm telling you, people are going to
No, I know what people are... I'll deal with what people say. I don't think it's a very difficult argument to have with anybody. They're going to say, oh, what about the illegal aliens and how much they cost? You know how you deal with that? You know what you say to people when they say, what about all the illegal aliens in California and how much they cost? Why don't you put a control on that before you ask us for $10 billion? You know how you deal with that?
How?
You say to them, guess what? That's a political hot potato. That is an atomic bomb. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. That's how you deal with that.
And people aren't going to take that for an answer.
Yeah. Well, no, no. Yes, they will take it for an answer because it's a political hot potato. Now, California is facing a budget crisis. And the idea here is to federally tax the income tax returns of Americans till we make up the $10 billion. It could be a set fee, a flat fee, a percentage.
And is this something that we pass by way of law? Is there a referendum? What do you see? How do you propose to go to the American people and say, oh, and by the way, you are going to make up the $10 billion shortfall for the state of California?
You ask people, would you pay money for the Statue of Liberty to get it fixed? Yes. Would you pay money for the Capitol building? Yes. Would you?
You're putting California...
Hold on for a minute. Would you pay money to fix the Lincoln Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix the Jefferson Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix California? Yes.
And so you're putting California on the same plane as the Lincoln Memorial? And
yes, of course I am. I think that an argument can be made that...
What about all the other states that may have a budget shortfall?
Name one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, certainly. Name one.
Missouri.
Missouri is not... Boy, you really want to go there, don't you?
You said to name one, okay? Are you going to tell me that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, but Missouri isn't?
No, Missouri is not. Missouri is a great state. But it's no one thinks of Missouri when you think of a state that equals the Washington Monument. No state equals the Washington Monument, except a few. California, the state of New York, perhaps. I don't know. It's very Texas, you know.
So you're naming off states that seem to have some currency in the lore of American history.
Well, that's a very fancy way of saying states that were important to the history of this country.
All the states were important to the history of this country. You talk about Missouri, it was central to the history of this country for a great many years.
Yeah, if you want to go back 150 years, Phil, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to tell the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight that when they look at the state of California in much the same way that one might look at the state of Texas, if you will, or Alaska, or Yosemite National Park, the Grand Tetons, Mount Rushmore, These are institutions. California is that, and I don't think it's a very high price to pay to know that you live in a country with a California. To come up with the money that we need to make sure that California does not go bust, to make up that $10 billion shortfall. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one businessman out here in California, Ted, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Be mighty glad you did. And that's what we're asking.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The proposition here that the American taxpayer, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're not going to get people. People are so anti-tax right now that to say to them, $10 billion in new taxes for the state of California that you're going to take out of the people, okay? Washington State has a budget shortfall of $5.3 billion. What do you think about we kick in for Washington?
What was the state again?
Washington State.
You know, Phil, with all due respect, if you're trying to get me to insult Washington State,
No, I'm asking you, if California is deserving of the money, why isn't Washington State?
That's not California. I don't think I... Do I gotta point that out? Washington State is Washington State. What do you think of when you think of Washington State? I think of apples. That's about it.
I think of Seattle. I think of the Space Needle.
No, you don't think of the Space Needle.
Yes, I do, when I think of Washington State.
You think of apples. Apples. That's what you think of. Apples. Big, ripe, big, you know, the big apples they got. That's what you think of. When you think of California, what do you think of? Movie stars, the film business. You think about without California, there wouldn't have been television. Without California, there was no film business. And quite frankly, Phil, without California, you don't have an agricultural industry.
How do you say that? Okay, that, you know, you could probably make an argument for the other things you said.
I'll tell you how you say that. California showed the rest of the country how to grow stuff right. You know, for the longest time, the United States was we've always been a great country when it came to agriculture. Always a great country when it came to growing things. But we didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground until California, in the San Joaquin Valley, started to grow stuff. And we grew, and the stuff we grow, and the apples and all, everything. You talk about the apples they have in Washington. I don't know anything about agriculture, okay? You've got me at a disadvantage. But I will tell you this. California, as an industry, showed the rest of the world, here's how you grow a crop. Okay, you people have been walking around with your thumbs parked for centuries. Now we're going to show you here, wheat. This is how you see. Look at that. There's a corn on the cob. That's what we did. How do you build a road? California finally said, can we show you how to build a road? Because we've been butchering that job, too. How do you build a building? Can we show you how to build a building so it doesn't fall down? Can we show you how to... I mean, you name it, California has taught the world. And what do we get in return? We're insulted. We're told we're drug addicts. We're told we're flakes. We're told we're rapists and murderers and serial murderers. That's what we get. No respect. No one to say thank you, California, for showing the way. Thank you for being the land of milk and honey. Thank you for being the leader when it came to showing the world how to do stuff like take a picture, build a toilet, you name it.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for California, then human civilization would never have progressed.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that many of those innovations came from this state. So the federal government needs to make up that $10 billion shortfall with the tax dollars of the American citizen, with our thanks, with our apologies, but more with our saying, you know, it's about time. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, about time. You know, you're going to get a lot of people just hate California more than they do.
Well, no, I am not.
Yes, you are, by saying it's about time. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This segment sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills. And we're talking about California's $10 billion budget shortfall. How do we make it up? In the mind of Ted and others, a federal tax. That means you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you make it up, because California has been for so long the leader, the trendsetter, the industrial leader, the agricultural leader, the commercial leader for a very, very long time. It is a symbol of this country, not unlike the Lincoln Memorial. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here Ted Bell wanting non-California residents to be taxed to fix the state's budget problem. What do you think about his idea? Would you ever allow a portion of your paycheck to fix California? 877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And this quarter hour, we're going to talk about the 50 states and why America really needs to help California make up that budget shortfall.
Ted Bell with us here. Now, you wanted to do what?
What I wanted to do is a little something different. I've got a list of the 50 states. And when you think of California, and what are we talking about this hour in the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell? What we're talking about, really, Phil, is the fact that California, in all of the many ways that California does business, in the many ways that California enjoys itself, we represent the very finest, the very furthest, the very highest of achievement. If California is to survive, America really needs to help out.
And well, there's no real, I do see precedent, obviously. There's been a stimulus that's helped out business.
Koch went to the federal government and asked money for New York, and they told him to drop dead and blow away. That was the worst, and I think America can make it up now. For a state like California to go begging, while the rest of these states talk about how solvent they are, well, of course you're solvent. You've got three people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We've got more people than any other state in this country. And, you know, and we've given people more fun. The things we've done and the fact that we have to beg.
Well, California, there's nothing in the Constitution that says people are supposed to donate money to California.
What I'm saying is, no, there's nothing in the Constitution. I know there's nothing in the Constitution.
All right, but you're talking about how California's got to beg. I mean, no, they don't. They can simply do business so they make up the $10 billion.
Oh, simply do business to make up the $10 billion. How do you do that, okay?
Well, one of the things that's going on that I absolutely agree with, they are not going to pay the California legislators until they come up with a balanced budget.
Those people are going to go home starving to death. That is not a way to do business.
Yes, it is. You tell those people, that's why we elected you, balance that budget.
No, they can't. And if they can't, then what?
Then you don't pay them.
And then they don't get paid, and then their families don't eat, and now you've got dead bodies in a house in Sacramento. Do you want that?
What are you talking about?
Did you just say they're not going to pay the California legislators?
Yeah.
You've got dead, rotting bodies in Sacramento. That's what you want. That's what everybody in America...
What dead, rotting bodies?
The California legislators that...
Oh, come on, man. Some of these people get... Come on.
Oh, come on, man. You know, Phil, don't bite off more than you can... Well, I won't say. But
you know, no, Ted, I'll tell you what. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. You're talking about the California legislators took a job. If they can't balance that budget, you can't go to the rest of the country and say, hey, we're so sorry, we can't balance our budget.
Did you say balance? What is that, balance?
Balance the budget. Can you help us with that so that, A, we balance our budget, and, B, our California legislators don't have to stop being paid? And to say that because they don't get paid, they'll be dead, rotting bodies.
Did you hear the... Apparently, you don't stay close to the news. Did you hear about Casey Anthony? You know that.
Where are we going now?
I'm asking... I'm the sponsor this hour. Would you humor me, Phil? Did you hear about Casey Anthony?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, you know they could smell a dead body in the car. You know that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to smell in Sacramento?
You're not going to have that kind of disaster on your hands if you don't pay the California state legislators their money. You're not going to have dead, rotting bodies.
Oh, Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Hildon.
Hey!
Thank you, Quincy. You know, for all of the stuff that I...
You're not going to... Ted, don't be an ass, all right?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening right now, you're a witness. You're a witness. The man whose show I sponsor just called me an ass.
Don't be an ass coming up with asinine scenarios about what's going to happen to people if they don't get paid. You know, a lot of people don't get paid. Go on unemployment. How about that?
Unemployment doesn't pay for tap water. You know it, and I know it. All I'm saying is let's have some respect for our legislators. It's a tough job. We need help from the country. We demand help from the country.
You demand tax dollars from the American people.
That's exact. You know what? You've got Hollywood Boulevard. Put it on the screen. Do it.
Excuse me?
I told you to do it. Now do it.
Do what?
You've got a video cast going, right?
Yeah.
And there's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Put it on the screen. I told you to put it on the screen.
No, I'm not taking orders from you just because you sponsor an hour. Now, you're going to have to ask me nice.
What?
Ask me nice. I want you to stand there in that gay white suit you're wearing tonight and ask me nice.
Will you please put Hollywood Boulevard on your screen?
There it is.
All right, there. You see that dead city? You see how dead that is? That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, California. That is where dreams are made. You look at how dead that... Oh, you got it on pause.
I do. As a matter of fact, excuse me. Let me just... I apologize. I did have it on pause. And it should be back to normal now.
You made me look like an ass?
I didn't know...
Well, right in the middle of the screen, it said click to play. What a...
We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. And we also want to get your input on whether or not the United States, the taxpayers of the United States, should bail out California $10 billion budget shortfall. Ted Bell will be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You made me look like...
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to take a look at all 50 states and tell you what they have to offer as opposed to California. Let's see if we can get some money made.
Here at Ted's,
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we're going to run down that list, but Ted, you were saying to me that California, we were looking at a picture of Hollywood, and there's nobody there, so therefore what?
The economy is bad. California has driven tourism for just many, many years. Now, what do we look at when we see the streets of Hollywood? To quote that character in Malcolm X, dead, dead, dead. You is dead. Remember that when he said you is dead?
And yeah, I remember that. I don't know that it necessarily pertains here.
It's a quote from a movie, Phil. I'm not trying to make any comment racial.
I understand.
I'm simply saying that the United States, the American taxpayer, for all that they have sucked out of the state of California, like babies sucking out of a bottle. I mean, if you look at California and you look at the rest of the United States, the American taxpayers, we're all a bunch of babies sucking at the nipple of California. Just the rest of the states are one big fat, really fat baby, overweight baby, and California is a bottle of never-ending milk, and there is the baby laying on its back, the big, fat slob of a baby.
What baby is a slob?
Well, no baby is a slob, unless that baby are the other 49 states, and that is one fat... Have you ever seen, I don't know if you've ever been online, but you can go and enter in fat baby in Google and hit images, and you see these children with the big, thick arms... And they've got a big bowl of slop. I don't know who feeds them. But...
Whatever it is you're talking about, you know, I think you made your point.
Well, the point is that California's the milk bottle.
Yeah, and the other 49 states are a big, fat slob of a baby sucking off of it.
Yes. God.
877-876-PHIL. We will roll down that list of states from Ted here in just a moment. Let's get to some phone calls here tonight. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Travis.
just like to comment on the fact that I just don't think it's right that any other state should have to pay for one state's debt. You know, California is not the only state in debt. And let alone, you know, the people. Everybody's going through a hard time in the economy now, and I just really don't think that that would be right.
What's wrong, Ted?
I knew I'd get a call like this. With all due respect to the gentleman, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I've tried to make the point here over the last few minutes that California's not just any other state.
Right.
California...
leading state either. And you did make the comment a few minutes ago about you have the most people than any other state.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, it's just, if you have the most people than any other state, then why can't the most people of any other state donate $2, $5, $10, whatever the case may be, and pull it out of, you know, your debt? And, you know, I don't know how
pull it out of my what?
May not pull out of the debt. Ain't we talking about debt here?
Yes, sir, I know, but we're talking $10 billion, and what we were saying here, just like the stimulus, just like the monies that, you know, that go federally, we were hoping the people of the United States would, some sort of a tax, would, and then that way you pay for it. And I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not fair. I got you. But I'm countering by saying that California is sort of like the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, you know, may I jump in?
Yeah.
What's that?
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. To say that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, that's all of a sudden saying that it's not an equal partner in this union. I mean, it's not. Every state in the union is an equal partner.
Oh, my rear end. You know that we put more money. California puts more money in.
No. Hold on for a minute. Every American is paying taxes at the rate that he is federally charged. Every American pays taxes at the rate that they pay taxes. So to say that California somehow is more entitled to federal relief when Washington has a $5.3 billion shortfall.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask this gentleman, Travis. When you think of Washington State, Travis, what do you think of?
Cold and wet.
There you go. Cold and wet. You going to put $5 billion into that? Not me. No, thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm not putting $5.3 billion into something that's like the inside of someone's you-know-what. That's what this gentleman just said.
The inside of someone's you-know-what?
Yes, cold and wet. So what I would rather do...
All right, look, Travis, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. You going to do this list of states?
Hold on. I wasn't even done talking, and you... Did you hang up on the caller?
I had to move on, yeah.
Well, the gentleman said cold and wet, and he was on. When he said that, I was about to. He was going to be my ally in attacking your stand, which is that Washington State is somehow equally entitled to tax dollars. He said cold and wet, and that reminded me of like the inside of someone's. Well, I can't say it.
Okay, and what?
Oh, boy. What's better? What's better? All right, what's better? I'm going to have to say this right. A masculine, muscular, you-know-what, or something wet and damp?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to David. Hi, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell as we talk about the California budget shortfall and how the rest of the country is supposed to make up for that. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. Good.
How are you?
I'm a truck driver out of Cincinnati, and
yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with paying my tax dollars. I make a really, really good living, and you know what? I understand California is in a deficit, but you know what? So
right.
are the other 50 states. You know, and
that's
we need to worry. I don't have a problem with taking tax dollars to help other states, but it needs to be a state that's in a state of emergency. What about the people in Joplin? They lost, what, 150, 155 people? Joplin, Missouri.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
But what have they given the rest of the country? And what I was going to do, David, well, you know, you can say that Mississippi's had a hard time. You can say that Missouri has. And they have. And they deserve help.
But I'm talking about something more than emergency dollars. I'm talking about actual helping with the budget windfall, the shortfall, because Missouri at the end of the day and Mississippi at the end of the day haven't really done for the country what California has had. Let's talk about it. California, here I come, right back where I started from. You know that song?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, you know that song. Okay, now listen to this. Here we go. Alabama, and I actually had some music I wanted to play because I think it's, here we go. Alabama, all right? Now, when you talk about Alabama, Dave, what do you think of? You got it, rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Eskimos. Arizona, old people, meth addicts. Arkansas. You go all the way down the line. Then you come to California, what do you think of? Beautiful oceans, hot-looking women. Okay. Then we go to Colorado, pot. Connecticut, old people. Delaware, even older people. Florida, death. Georgia.
All right, we got the point.
Right.
We got the point.
I understand all of that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Every state has its ups and downs. But you need, you know, the people in the United States, we do need to pull together and we do need to help each other. But we need to take care of states that are in a state of emergency.
I agree with that.
Taxpayers can't pay enough taxes to support the deficit. Every state has a deficit. But we need to take care of the states that are in a state of emergency, not
when you think of
overspending.
Let's talk about this. When you think of the state of, let's talk about Washington. What do you think of when you think of Washington?
Oh, will you come on already?
No, I'm asking the guy. What do you think of when you think of Washington,
right,
sir?
Right off the top of my head, it's a nice place to visit, and they do have good apples. I wouldn't want to live there. But
thank you. There you go. I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I needed to hear. I wouldn't want to live there. Why would I want to pay for it, right? Now, when we talk about California,
Ohio's my.
What's that?
That's my stomping ground.
Okay. Now, what do you think of? Or when the first thing you think? Okay, I won't ask Dave. Bill, what do you think of when you think of Ohio?
Oh, come on, will you?
What do you think of when you think of Ohio?
I think of the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
Well, did you ask me a question?
The Cincinnati Reds.
Did you ask me a question or did you not?
Yes.
The Cincinnati Reds. Well, what do you think of?
Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, Dave. What is a Buckeye, Dave?
He doesn't know. You don't know what it is. You'll bet it's a nut.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877. Thank you, David, and safe travels. 877-876-7445. Here is Bill in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My thing is this. I'm living in California. We don't need any other state to bail us out. We need to fix our own problem. Fix the illegal immigration problem here in the state of California, and it will fix itself.
You can't go near that.
There's the guy who just said illegal immigration.
I told you. It's a political hot potato.
27% of our MA population are illegal aliens at a cost of $52,000 per year per inmate, and that's provided if they don't get sick.
Our enemy population. What does he mean?
Inmate.
No. You got it all wrong.
No, I don't have it all wrong. I just spent 25 years in the prison system. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Were you a prisoner?
Pardon me?
Were you a prisoner?
No, I was not a prisoner.
Well, I mean, he's...
Maybe he worked for the...
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. You were a corrections officer, correct?
Yes, I was. Lieutenant.
Was he a prisoner?
I didn't know.
All right, but of course, as a corrections officer, you don't really know who's legal or who's illegal, Bill, do you?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you can't go near it, Bill. It's a political hot potato. It's just, you don't want to go near that. If you go near that, it's like going back near a bad smell. It's just going to be all over you. Don't go near that. Let's talk about how California deserves the money over a place like Vermont.
See,
what's Vermont got?
That's the problem we have. Our politicians are scared right now. Or let's not touch that. We may not get reelected. You know what? Get a politician up there that has something that they can contribute. Don't be scared. Don't be scared that you're going to make the other party scared or mad.
It's not fear. It's simply saying when a guy says illegal alien, the first thing you think of is don't go near it.
Well, we've got to start to go near these questions.
Don't go near it.
No, we got to start.
You can't go near it.
Several years ago, when we passed Proposition 187, and all that.
Oh, no one knows what that is.
Anybody in the California that's here illegally is not entitled to benefits. That's the only thing that said. They turn it into a big racial
thing. No one knows what that is.
That was the original. That was the original referendum that beat Arizona. You know, but there were some constitutional issues with that. Anyway, thank you very much, Bill, for your call. World famous Phil Hendry show here. And
oh, so you disagree with the guy? Constitutional issues, and then you get rid of his phone call. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I have to move on, okay?
Yeah, but you were disagreeing with him there.
Yeah, I was, but frankly, the disagreement came up at a time where we do have to move on.
All right, I wanted to finish up here, Phil, just very, very quickly for the people that did not hear what we were doing. And what we're talking about here, let me just have Bud Dicklin, or what's his name, Dickman?
Dickman.
Start it again, and let's, thank you, here we go. The 50 states, the United States of America. Let's run down the 50 states. Alabama, what do you think of? Rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Rednecks and Eskimos. Arizona, what do you think of? Rednecks and meth addicts.
All right, come on. We got to get going, all right?
I beg your pardon? Turn the music off. What did you say to me?
I said we got to get going. Sorry, but we do. I got to take a break.
Yeah, fine.
877, now I feel bad. 877-876-PHIL.
No, it's okay.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What a putt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight we're open until 1 a.m. We serve until, well, we stop serving. But we are open until 1 a.m. That's another 2.5 hours. So you can come in and drink.
Here at 10.
Which, of course, we would rather you not drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Now, what kind of a commercial is that?
Excuse me, I'm the sponsor. Oh, boy. I'm the sponsor.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Would you mind? All right, back it up, please. Play it again.
Wait. I'll tell him to play it again.
Well, I'm not going to have you say something like that.
Ted, you said, come on in and drink, which, of course, I don't want you to drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Oh, my God, and then you repeat it? Play it again.
All right, Bud, go ahead, play it again. He's deserving of another... Sorry.
Great way, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
I don't know what Phil Hendry thought he was playing at, but no, you don't do that to me, Ted Bell. Come on in. We've stopped serving. We're serving booze till 1. Don't drink and drive.
Here at 10.
God.
I apologize.
Just don't, you don't have to second guess what I'm saying. All right. Here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, I'm Ted Bell. I'm sponsoring the final segment of this, and I'm going to try and get my money's worth out of this because for the last, I don't know what you'd call it, 52 minutes, Hendry and his listeners have tried to hold me down over the hood of a car outside of town.
Whoa, man.
Well, you're telling me that you haven't?
We've given you a fair hearing.
All right, hit it, bud. This is Foxy, one of the very first gay disco bands.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I'd say that. And what we want to do is run through the 50 states, all 50 states, and why California's got it all over them. All right, where were we? Alabama, rednecks. Alaska, Eskimos and weed. Actually, Eskimos and alcoholics. Arizona, meth addicts and old people. Arkansas, the Clintons. Did you get that, Phil? The Clintons?
Yeah, that's great.
Colorado, dope, hippies, the Rocky Mountains. That's Connecticut, I don't know. Delaware, I don't know what happens in Delaware, but I know that some guy dumped a woman off the... some kind of a murder was committed there. Florida, lots of murders. Georgia, chain gangs. Hawaii, dope and rainbows. Idaho, potatoes and dope. Illinois, Lincoln. Big wow, I mean, Lincoln's a great guy. Indiana, the Hoosiers, Larry Bird, you get it. Iowa, hurricanes, tornadoes, a farm, another tornado, another farm, another tornado. Kansas, Dorothy, Kentucky, colonels.
fried chicken. Louisiana or Louisiana. Two words. Hurricane Katrina. Then we have Maryland. Baltimore. Massachusetts. Baltimore. Michigan. Detroit. Minnesota. Not much, but Lakes and Ludifus. Or Ludacris. Mississippi. Chain gangs. Missouri. Chain gangs. Montana. Cold chain gangs. Nebraska.
All right, I get the idea. God, I get the idea, man.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
What I hear from you is just a very quick and smart-ass dismissal of all of the states. Michigan, Detroit.
You call that any bargain?
And what is lutefisk?
Now, what's that stuff they eat in Minnesota, the fish?
I don't know, fish.
No, that crap, that Norwegian crap they eat. Anyway, North Dakota, Ohio, Buckeyes. I asked the guy, what is it? He said it's a nut. And they say
that people are not going to devote tax dollars to just one state, Ted. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Father Henry, thank you. Thank you for blowing off the hopes of a lot of people tonight. The state of California has meant an awful lot to a lot of people, Phil. And I wish at this particular point you had some music that was fitting, because I want to do a tribute. I want to do a tribute to a great state. A state that at one time might have been something. A state that at one time might have been much more than something. It might have been anything. Much more than anything. It might have been the thing. What is this? The Atlantis theme?
What the hell you want from it?
God almighty. Anyway, California is a place that I think a lot of dreams come to and die here. But at least, anyway...
All right, well, Ted, thank you very much. I think you did all that you could to destroy your idea.
I didn't destroy anything, my fine feathered friend.
Do we have time for this call? Let's see. Let's go over here to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I want to ask why, if California created the problem that they're in right now by electing officials that didn't care anything about spending money, if it was me and I couldn't pay my bill, would someone come balance my checkbook so that I could have money to pay my bills? I don't think
so. If you were cool enough, that's what we're saying.
If we liked you. You said Connecticut was all people. I'm afraid to tell you that I am from Connecticut. I am a truck driver trying to make a living out of
here. That's a strike against you, then. I wouldn't want to pay for you, then. I'm sorry. I thought he said he was cool, but you're obviously not cool enough.
Phil Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I don't like it. As far as I'm putting my hands on my kids.
Can I ask one more? Are you hypnotized tonight? Has someone hypnotized you?
I definitely can understand the way he feels to be.
Jews are good with money.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass we go. Going places other talk shows can't go. Republicans vow to roll back the Obama agenda now that they hold the majority in the House. Joining us this hour, Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party people. She's going to join us from Florida to talk about what's next on the Tea Party agenda. You know, it wasn't all about the Tea Party, as you well know. There were quite a few Tea Party candidates that were defeated, but... I think they got about 80% of their candidates elected last night. So it was far from any kind of a defeat for the Tea Party. It was quite an evening for them. And we're going to talk to Marilyn Donnelly in a moment about that. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And of course our online presence is philhenryshow.com. If you head over there, you can take a look at a live streaming video cast of our show right now, as well as the live streaming audio. And you can access thousands of hours of archive material, thousands of hours of individual character bits. We have video archives. We've got on-demand, as well as our podcasts, our mini podcasts, our classic Phil podcast. There's all kinds of stuff, man, going on at the Phil Hendry Show website, because it's a radio show website, because we know about radio, and we've got a show that's worthy of archiving. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. All right, let's gonna get Marilyn Donnelly on the line here from Orlando, Florida, first and foremost, and say hello and a very good evening to her. A very pleasant good morning to you, Marilyn. How are you?
Well, it's been a wonderful 24 hours, a wonderful 48 hours, Phil, in the life of a neophyte politico. But I'm really enjoying it.
What a night for you, as well as the conservatives, Republicans, people across the country who were opposed to the current direction of the country. Quite a sweeping night, huh?
It was indeed, and we are poised for more, and I think even better moves in the near future, and we are poised to take the message to Washington that we want smaller government, that we want individuals responsive to the electorate. To the electorate, that is, individuals that are responsive to the American people, and we simply are not going to allow Washington to dictate to us how much of our hard-earned money we put into ridiculous programs that are designed to help no one, that could never possibly help anyone, and that are doomed to failure. And we think this is a great time, Phil, to bring more people into the Tea Party movement by expressing, I think, a expansive and a point of view that is embracing of all American people. And to that end, the Sunshine State Tea Party, in referring to our founding fathers and mothers, which is something that will be a point of departure for us from other Tea Party organizations in this country, but we hope that others will pick up on this.
Well, you're talking about the founding mothers and fathers, which is not I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We've had a lot of women involved in the founding of our country. But are you talking about the Abigail Adamses and...
No, we're really not. Abigail Adams was a wonderful counsel to her husband. Martha Washington was the same. And certainly there were other women involved from the standpoint of domestic... Or I heard Ellen Burstyn once say that women are assistant people. No, we want the term founding fathers and founding mothers to be used in the sense that women as well as men were involved in the very creation of the legal charter of this country. That is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and even still to some extent the fighting of the Revolutionary War. Now, were there women at the signing of the Declaration of Independence? No, there were not, but it is not really a point that needs to be argued, because while there were no women actually there, the perception that there were is not too far off. It's not, in other words, the perception that there were women who helped write the Constitution, it is not that far removed from reality when you think that, yes, there could very well have been women helping with the Constitution. It just so happens that in those days, women were not allowed to do that kind of work. We have so many people who signed so many documents that founded this country, we can't recite all of them. So there's no, I think, problem in saying, well, there must have been a woman in there, or maybe there were women. It doesn't really matter. The perception that women helped found this country and helped write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, as well as lead as soldiers in the Revolutionary War, would help so many American women at a time when we need to see ourselves far more actively than we do.
Yeah, but are American women going to want to see themselves historically? Are they going to, not themselves, but are they going to want to see other American women historically in a false light?
We don't think it's a false light, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
Why not?
Because had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have signed the Declaration of Independence, had women been allowed to be involved in politics in those days, women would have written the Constitution. So what we're saying is that, in essence, in a theoretical sense, women did sign the Declaration of Independence and write the Constitution. If women had been allowed in the military in those days, women would have been members of the military and would have been members of the Congressional Army. So it's not too far removed to say that women were a part of the actual founding fathers and mothers of this country.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party joining us. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the Tea Party and the Republican Party and the conservative movement in this country and the great victories that you guys achieved last night. The victories that you achieved last night, are they making it possible for you to sort of take this next, and forgive me for using the word, but this next propaganda step?
Well, I don't see it as a propaganda step at all.
Well, it sort of feels to me like now's the time to empower women historically. So you want to say the founding fathers and mothers. Now, people are going to agree with that.
Yes, they will agree with that because there were founding fathers and mothers. But we want to go a step further. We want, when we say the words founding fathers and founding mothers, we want young women to believe that those founding mothers...
Yeah, I know, signed the Declaration of Independence, wrote the Constitution, and...
Well, don't preempt me, Phil. Let me finish. Yes, wrote the Constitution and signed the Declaration of Independence and fought in the Revolutionary War and were every bit as much a part of the bloodletting and the conquering of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War as men. Is it so? It doesn't matter, because had it been legal for women to do those things, then they would have. So this is a very subtle point, but we want it very clearly understood. Women must now be perceived as founding mothers, like men are perceived as founding fathers, but not in the sense that they baked apple pie. In the sense that they actually signed the Declaration of Independence.
And when you look at the Declaration of Independence and you see that there are no female names on that document, what do you say to a young woman who said, but we signed the Declaration of Independence?
You can certainly say to her that women were not allowed to sign the Declaration of Independence, and they weren't. Had they been allowed, yes, there would be female names there. Who is hurt by changing the way we teach history? These are small changes. There are no victims here.
So when you take a young lady and you show her the Constitution, and you look at the names of the delegates from each of the states who signed the Constitution, and there are no women, you say to that young woman, there would have been women signing it had they been allowed.
There most certainly would have been women signing it had they been allowed, but they were not allowed. But there are women's signatures that should be on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Who were they?
I don't know. They were not allowed to sign it.
But were they in Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Ms. Donnelly, were there women involved in the writing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence?
Mr. Henry, I don't know the answer to that. I do know it was illegal to have women involved in the creation of those documents. And so the women that were involved in creating those documents...
Well, you don't know that women were involved in creating those documents, do you?
And you don't know that they weren't. And that's the point that we are trying to make to our young ladies. I don't know if there were women in the Revolutionary and the Continental Army. I don't know that a woman didn't lead a charge on those British trenches at Yorktown. But it's time now to at least allow women to think it was possible.
And so to that end, we now begin to refer to them as our founding fathers and our founding mothers.
Founding fathers and founding mothers, yes. And this is part of our Tea Party, if you will, the embracing of a larger piece of history by the Tea Party. This was a wonderful win for us last night, Bill. We cannot squander the opportunity. And the founding fathers and founding mothers and let me underline that, founding fathers and founding mothers of this country are smiling, I think, on all of us today.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
And if I could make one more point, Phil, when we say founding fathers and founding mothers, we want to emphasize founding mothers. And I want to see the reaction of men when I do that. Founding fathers and founding mothers. What do men do? How do they react? A lot is going to depend upon that. A lot will depend how far we are able to move into the future. How far we are able to take this country will depend a lot on how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about incorporating into our speech now the line founding fathers and founding mothers? And not just from the standpoint of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington, oh, I don't know, cooking food or, you know, keeping a nice home, but from the standpoint of there might very well have been women involved in the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the creation of the Constitution. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
For the founding fathers and founding mothers.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to some of your phone calls in a moment here. 877-876-PHIL. We've got on the line Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly is with the Tea Party of the Sunshine State Tea Party, Marilyn. The victory of the conservative movement in this country at the polls last night has not only emboldened people in the Tea Party, in the Republican Party, to move their agenda forward, but you see this as an opportunity to expand the rights of women and the position of women in history. And that is with the phrase, the founding fathers and founding mothers. You said something before the break that I thought was interesting. You said as the length to which we are able to succeed in this country, how far we're able to go, will depend a lot on how well men accept that phrase.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant, Phil, is simply the founding fathers and founding mothers. That is a real statement. That is not a concocted statement. There were founding fathers and there were founding mothers. The founding fathers have been given a great deal of credit for the creation of some of the most epic documents in the history of self-governance in this world, the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. There are no credit given at all to women in either the creation of those two documents or in any kind of service to this country by way of arms. That would be in the military. Our educational system must include in the phrase the founding fathers and the founding mothers, which is the way that we want that phrase to be heard, gives young ladies an opportunity to know that women were involved in the founding of this country.
But you don't want it just to be about women involved in the founding of the country, like Betsy Ross or Abigail Adams.
No, it's too late for that. It's much too late for the tales of Abigail Adams and Martha Washington and Betsy Ross. We've moved past that.
But those are real women. Those were real people. And they lived. Eliza Hamilton is another. She was very popular.
Eliza Hamilton was a woman who had been married to a man that cheated on her. We want strong women recognized as our founding mothers. And those would be the women that founded the country and signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, I know that no women's names appear on the Declaration of Independence. That does not mean there weren't women involved in writing it. I know there are no.
Well, you're making an assumption there. I don't know. Being a fan of history and wanting history to be historically accurate.
Well, do you think history is accurate when it writes that there were only men signing the Declaration of Independence?
I think insofar as we know what the Declaration of Independence, what went into to creating the Declaration of Independence, I think that history is accurate.
And shouldn't history be fair to women?
History needs to be accurate. I've never said that history needs to be fair. History needs to be accurate. If it happened a certain way...
And what of the name Governor Morris on the Declaration of Independence, which we read as Guinevere Morris? Do you know who Guinevere Morris was?
Governor Morris.
It reads as Guinevere Morris.
So you're now telling me there was actually a woman who signed the Declaration of Independence?
I don't know. I can tell you there are interpretations as to the signing of that document, as well as the Constitution. And to say the Founding Fathers and the Founding Mothers is to say that the Founding Mothers did more than bake cookies and make beds and bring their husbands lunch.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Do you believe Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers? You want this phrase used in schools.
Well, we want the phrase used in schools, but we want the phrase recited in such a way so as to emphasize the contribution of women, so it'll be Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. And you give emphasis, Founding Fathers and Founding Mothers. You give emphasis.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Drew in Boston. Go ahead, Drew. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
All right, I was just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, that we should make it seem like women had a part in the, you know, founding of our country, but you really need to have at least one example that you could pull off the top of your head. You know, any given person could give at least three founding fathers, you know, right off the top of their head. So if you want to do
the
fair...
Those are the only ones that they recorded, though.
Well, I mean,
those are the only people that they recorded.
It's just, I'm just saying, you know, if you want it to be all fair, you know, then you got to be fair. You have to have an example, at least one, and saying, oh, well, they don't keep records, that's a little ridiculous.
Exactly. But they didn't keep records. You find
love letters and stuff from the people back then, you know. You got to find at least one document that had a woman that was saying that, what was going on is good.
Well, we feel that young women knowing that there were women there, and so to say that...
But we don't know that there were women there.
Do you have a document? See, you gentlemen don't understand it. The history is written by men. They're not going to record the presence of women.
Are you saying that there were women there, but it was not recorded?
I'm saying it does not hurt us to tell our young women, yes, there were women there.
Even though we can't be sure.
What difference does it make? Who cares?
What? Want to take credit. You want women to take credit for something that you can't prove had anything to do with.
Who's to say that that name is not Governor Morris, that that name is indeed Guinevere Morris? We don't know.
That name is Governor Morris because the name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris.
The name is recorded elsewhere as Governor Morris, Phil, because that is what was on the Declaration of Independence. But the name could very well be that of a Guinevere Morris.
Well, then you're saying that there was a woman there and that she was dressed as a guy. I don't know. Drew, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Were there women there?
It doesn't matter if they were really there or not. We want people to think they were.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back. I've got Marilyn Donnelly on the line from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Big wins last night for Tea Party conservatives, Republicans across the country. I stated at the outset, Ms. Donnelly, that the Tea Party didn't do bad last night.
Oh, no, we did very well, very, very well, Phil. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of our candidates were elected, so the idea that the Tea Party was not the story last night is very much not a factor.
But we're talking about you taking this win by the Tea Party and now using it to expand the influence of American history into all walks of life. You want it said now, founding fathers and founding mothers. Even though we don't have evidence of women signing the Declaration of Independence or of the Constitution.
I'll give you an example. You know, if you say you believe in God and I say, do you have proof of God? You would say to me, who cares? So if I say to you that we had founding mothers who were a part of the writing of the Declaration of Independence, and you say to me, do you have proof? I say to you, who cares? Because it is more important for young women to know that women were there every step of the way, signing it, putting into play the Constitution, the War of 1812, as my father used to say, the whole Megillah. Do you know, Phil, whether the name Hugh Williamson is that of a Declaration of Independence signer or a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles? Hugh Williamson, who?
Well, I'm going to have to assume a signer of the Declaration.
Yes, he was the signer of the Declaration of Independence, but you could easily have thought of him as a black linebacker in the National Football League. Why couldn't he have been a black man signing the Declaration of Independence? Charles Pinckney, who was a very famous foppish man from South Carolina, was he gay? Abraham Baldwin, was he a transsexual? Is LGBT represented? All of these questions can now become a part of our national historical dialogue.
Not to the extent that you've got to invent things. 877-876-PHIL.
I just got done explaining and going through a great many examples and a lot of information, and for you to throw it all away with a comment before you go to a phone call, it irritates me. I have to be honest, it really does.
I apologize, but that's my job. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Maurice on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Maurice. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Yeah, Marilyn, I wanted to make a point that it seems like you're trying to rewrite history, and I think it's absurd because I don't think it's necessary to do that just so that young women can feel empowered. I'm an African-American. I'm a Republican. And to me, that's almost like saying, well, let's just say that there was white slaves so that black people will feel somehow empowered that, you know, they had some part in something that they didn't. I don't think it's necessary. I think
Why can't we do that? Why not do that? How do we know there weren't white slaves and black plantation owners?
Oh, come on. It's putting a political... Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not... It's pointless. That's all it is. It's not even necessary. I mean, look at the achievements that lots of women have achieved without even having to do that. And, you know, people, like young girls coming up these days, they don't even put a lot of thought into things like that. Only thing they look at is, what can I achieve from this point on? So I don't think there's even any point of rewriting history.
I agree with you there, but young women don't think about history. And as a result, young women find themselves caught in a world of contemporary issue and contemporary struggle that has no historical context. And I would want young women to understand that founding fathers and founding mothers, and you notice the way I say that? Can I ask you, Maurice, does that bother you?
Does what bother him?
It doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me is it's not accurate. And when you look at history, you want history to be accurate. I think it's better
to have
it that way and just to look at, okay, look how far we've come. Look what we've achieved now. Look what we can achieve in the future. I think it's much better to have it that way than to try and,
Would you call Crispus Attucks, who was an African-American, would you call Crispus Attucks, one of the men killed in the Boston Massacre by the British, a founding father of this country, a man who bravely stood up to the British and was shot down that night?
A founding father?
Yeah.
Well,
A revolutionary martyr, a revolutionary, maybe, but not a founding father.
But I'm not asking you, Mr. Henry, because you're not black.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, no, I don't think that's the reason. It's just he wasn't part of writing any part of the Declaration or signing it or anything else. And that's just the reality of it. It doesn't mean that black people don't have a place in history and black people haven't achieved anything, but... That's
but
just,
what if we found out that he had signed? But what if we found out he had signed the Declaration of Independence and then was gunned down?
Who?
Well, Chris Bissatic.
That didn't happen.
Well, considering that his signature's not on it, how people can discover that?
How can you say that? What do you mean he signed it and then got gunned down?
Because it was in 1775 that Chris Bissatic was gunned down. And
no, it wasn't. It was in 1770. You got to get your history right before you can, well, rewrite history.
And that's very cute. My point is simply this. Again, founding fathers and founding mothers.
All right, I got it. All right, thank you very much, Maurice, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Chris Bissatic is not a founding father. Chris Bissatic is a revolutionary. He was an American revolutionary.
Let me tell you who Chris Bissatic really was. Chris Bissatic was a sailor. He was a seaman. He had just gotten off a merchant ship. He was drinking in a Boston tavern with his mates. He heard this ruckus going on down the street. He came out of the tavern and down the street and confronted the British. He was, yes, a revolutionary, and yes, he was a martyr, but more to the point, he was just a drunk that was staggering down the street. And
let's not start calling people names. You got women who were signing the Declaration of Independence, and Chris Bissatic is a drunk, and you're just all of a sudden, you know.
Well, why can't I start calling some of these people out if we do not allow women to take their rightful place at the Constitutional Convention?
At the Constitutional Convention?
Yes.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a real quick statement for the lady on the telephone.
Sir.
She does
understand
that history is, in fact, based on facts instead of just calling it a fiction.
Yes, it is. I understand that. Hello?
Timmy there? Oh, I guess he hung up. And probably the reason why he hung up is because he heard you belch. Here is it Rafiq? Rafiq, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. This is Rafiq.
Yes, go ahead.
I can understand the premise that she's attempting to use, but being a black man in America, I do have a history from my forefathers that have played a very important role in building this country. Now, what I'm saying is very brief. If that premise exists that she's trying to put forward, then everyone should be inclusive, not exclusive.
I agree. I totally agree, and that's why I think that Hugh Williamson could very well have been black.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Hugh Williamson was a real guy. He was white.
Well, we don't know that for sure. And the reason why I say that, if you have the name Hugh Williamson, it sounds like a black man's name, doesn't it? Rafiq?
Yes.
Do you think the name Hugh Williamson sounds black?
What I'm saying is can be proven historically.
All right.
We have Christopher Adams, who fought in the Revolutionary War. We have friends who helped build Washington, D.C., we played a very important role in this history.
Right.
So if we're going to say the founding father, mothers and fathers are founding fathers and mothers, we should also say the founding fathers, mothers, and ex-slaves.
Well, I'll go you one better. We should say the founding white and black fathers and white and black mothers.
What's wrong with that?
I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that. I like that.
All right, fine. But I want to tell you this. If we're going to say founding white fathers, founding black fathers, founding white mothers, that's okay, but you can't say that the founding white mothers were involved in something they weren't involved in. If you're trying to tell me they signed the Declaration of Independence or that they were at the Constitutional Convention...
Well, what about black people?
I think this gentleman put it very well. Black people built Washington, D.C. Many of them served in the Revolutionary Army. They went on to serve in the Civil War. There's a great many founding black fathers and black mothers, and white fathers and white mothers, but they weren't at the Declaration of Independence, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Phil, you insult every black man when you say that.
How am I insulting black people when I say that?
Well, I don't think it's much.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I don't think as much as insulting. If we really dig down deep into it, we'll find that Abraham Lincoln had black children. So shouldn't those children be represented through their father as being part of that signing?
I think so. I think Abraham Lincoln himself might have been black. And
well, come on, will you? How do you know that?
Oh, so it isn't possible, is it?
Well, I know that he was friends with Frederick Douglass. That's about all I know. Abraham Lincoln, you know...
What about Beethoven? See, this is what we're saying. And we're, yeah, Beethoven was black. So,
all right, thank you very much, Rafiq, for your call. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. I'm just going to take a break here, because now I've got Beethoven's black, Abraham Lincoln, and let's see, what else? Well, 877, oh yeah, Hugh Williamson was a linebacker for the Eagles. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
The founding fathers and the founding mothers.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Marilyn Donnelly from the Sunshine State Tea Party. Great victory for the Tea Party last night. But today, you would like to take that a step further, Ms. Donnelly, and you would like to almost codify founding fathers and founding mothers. You want founding mothers mentioned in every phrase with founding fathers, and you don't want that to mean that they were just Abigail and Martha making ice cream, that they were women signing the Declaration of Independence. Marilyn, you there?
Yes, Phil.
That's correct, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, in essence, correct. You see, the founding fathers, and I have with me from our theatrical arm, Chuck Worsley. Chuck is an actor. And he does the recreations, he does a great many one-man shows featuring our founding fathers. And again, as I said to the last caller, it is how men react to the phrase founding fathers and founding mothers.
Okay, we lost, we'll get her back here. Let me, Marilyn Donnelly is our guest. Marilyn, are you there?
And that is why we have Chuck here.
Marilyn, we didn't hear that last part. Let me take a phone call and then I'll get to... what you have Chuck standing by to demonstrate to us. 877-876-PHIL. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I just have a comment about your guest and her opinion. I'd like to see some proof of what she is trying to say happened with the Declaration of Independence. The founding fathers were the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and actually founded the Constitution of this country. There were a lot of females and blacks who contributed to what this country is and what it started out to be. But if you're talking about founding fathers, then I would like to see some proof.
And founding mothers. And founding mothers as well. And the point that I'm making is, you want proof. Well, right now, what we're looking at is the very, very likely a possibility there were LGBT that were represented there.
LGBT at the signing?
Yes.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual. Who was a lesbian or a bisexual?
Well, I mentioned Charles Pinckney.
That's ridiculous.
But you don't know that. You don't know that. You're saying that because you want to believe that every... In other words, Margaret, what you're saying here...
I thought I was talking to a caller.
I apologize. Mike, go ahead.
It's ridiculous. You just got through saying that Abraham Lincoln was black. Look, black people contributed to this country, and they've made some great contributions and sacrifices to this country. But to try to push your personal agenda, whatever that may be, is ridiculous. You're trying to rewrite history because it's something that you want to believe and apparently want to make others believe, and it just doesn't work that way. Facts are facts.
I'm trying to the founding fathers and founding mothers. If Abraham Lincoln was black, it's time to face the music.
We don't know that he's black. There's no evidence that he's black. None whatsoever. No evidence. And we have to go by way of evidence. We can't just say, I assume, based on... There's a lot of circumstantial things in this world. History has circumstantial evidence. But until such time as we can really connect the dots in a sane way, there's no indication whatsoever in Abraham Lincoln's lineage that he was black.
You know, Phil, you're doing a lot of talking, and you're not letting the callers talk. If you let the callers talk, I'm able to convince them of what I'm saying.
And I don't think this man is convinced at all. Mike, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Marilyn Donnelly.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. First of all, God help us if this woman actually is part of the Tea Party, because to me it sounds like you have a very liberal agenda. And
No, I do not. I want women involved in the very building blocks of this country. No way. No way, Jose.
I understand that, but you can't reinvent history. You have no proof. Just because that you would like to think that it was that way, you can't actually say that it was. Because history is based on historical facts. That's the definition of history, is it not?
What do you think of the idea that, don't you, yes, that is what it is based on. How likely is it that a woman wasn't somewhere in the vicinity as they were signing that declaration?
It doesn't matter if the likelihood of them being in the vicinity, it's the fact of whether they were actually documented in being
right
there. That is history.
What do you mean?
History.
What do you mean at the vicinity?
As they were signing the Declaration of Independence, was there a woman somewhere within a 2 or 3 city block radius? Let me just ask that. Do you think that's possible?
Well, of course. But that doesn't
all right
mean just because, I mean, if someone is in a 2 or 3 block radius of any historical event happening, does that mean that they are actually a part of that historical event taking place?
Does not. No, it does not. But it does give us the opportunity to contemplate that if there were women in the vicinity, why weren't they there signing the document? You see?
Oh, come on. Because there's a woman walking down the street outside of the very hall where the men were signing the Declaration of Independence. You're now saying, aha, maybe she was in there signing it.
I don't think I went, aha, like I'm in a Felix the Cat cartoon. I'm saying the following thing. To Cheryl, do you believe, Cheryl, it would matter if we said founding fathers and founding mothers? Do you think men would be able to get with that?
Well, I don't really see a problem with saying founding fathers and founding mothers. I don't really think that anybody has an objection to that.
Okay.
The issue is
uh-huh
trying to reinvent history or change, because you're very adamant about wanting to change what is taught in,
right,
in schools and in history.
Well, I'm trying to, is there the possibility that when they were signing the declaration, there was a gay man there in the building?
Well, so what if he was in the building? Oh, I get it. Was he serving the drinks? Maybe he was waiting the tables where they were going off and having their pints of ale or whatever the hell those guys did.
Maybe, and maybe he was there signing it. That's my point, Cheryl, and we'll never, ever make peace with history until we consider the possibility that, yes, there was a transsexual signing the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, first of all, it's not that you're wanting to just explore, from my understanding, it's not that you're just wanting to explore the possibility. You're actually
uh-huh
wanting to document and say that it is fact, when in fact, we have no fact that that's the way that it was. So you can't rewrite history just because you want to explore the possibility that it could be that way.
But you yourself said it was very possible that somewhere in the area, as they were signing that, there was a queer that...
Well, can we not use that word, please?
I'm sorry. What do you think of us saying, founding fathers and... You know what? I got to get Chuck in here, Phil, because I promised him to do this. Chuck Worsley is an actor when I cue you. Founding fathers and founding mothers. What do you think, Phil?
Great.
Well, you're lying to me.
Phil Hendry. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.